This week's Parsha is Parsha Zazino, and we are going to discuss the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph 31a, where there the Gemara is discussing which hymns the Levim, the Levites, sang in the Beis HaMikdash every day. The Gemara accepts that in the first day, meaning Sunday, they said Psalm 24, and on Monday they said Psalm 48, on Tuesday, they said Psalm 82. On Wednesday, they said Psalm 94. On Thursday, they said Psalm number 81. On Friday, they said Psalm 93. And on Shabbos, they said Psalm 92. The Gemara has a disagreement of why the rabbis instituted these psalms. The first opinion of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, was that they established the psalms corresponding to the day of creation, except for the Shabbat, which refers to a future day, meaning for the Shabbat in the world to come. And Rav Nechemya believes that they said the psalm for what Hashem did in this world, meaning regarding what Hashem did in creation, that is the reason why they said the psalm. The Gemara continues and says, "Bemusfe de Shabbat mayo yamrim." What did they say in Musaf of Shabbos? The Gemara answers, "Omar Avonan Barove Omar Rav." Ravonan Barova says the name of Rav, that they said Haziv Loch, meaning Haziv Loch is a mnemonic of the parshas, the portions on Parshas Hazinu. We will soon explain in more details what these portions are, but basically the Gemara says that on Musaf of Shabbos they read Parshas Hazinu, but they read in these sections, which is Hey Zion Yud Vav, Lamed Chav. There's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos and other Meforshim what the parts are. According to Rashi, the parts are Hazinu from Pasuk number 1 to Pasuk number 6. The Zion is on Pasuk number 7, which starts Zachor Yomois Olam, remember the days of yore, and it goes to Pasuk number 12. The Yud is what's written on Pasuk number 13, Yarkiveyu al b'mosay oretz, he would make him ride on the heights of the land, and goes all the way to Pasuk number 18. The Vav, according to Rashi, goes from Pasuk number 19, where it says, Vayar Hashem vayinatz, Hashem saw and became angry, and it goes all the way to Pasuk number 26. And the Lamed is in Pasuk number 27, where it starts, Lulei kas oyveif, if not for the anger of the enemy, and it goes all the way to Pasuk number 35. And the sixth portion, according to Rashi, is in verse number 36, where it says, Ki Yodin Hashem Amoi, when Hashem will judge his people, that is the Chof, and goes all the way till the end of the Shiras Hazinu, which finishes in Pasuk number 43. Tosfos already brings the opinion of the Maseches Sofrim, which gives a different breakdown to the Haziv Loch, which they say it's different psukim, and Rabbeinu Hananul also says a different pasuk, but nonetheless all of them agree that the mnemonic has to be Haziv Loch, because the Gemara says that the mnemonic is Haziv Loch. And the Gemara continues and says, V'omar Rav Chanan bar Rava Omar Rav, Rav Chanan bar Rava says the name of Rav, Kederech Shechalukim Kan, in the same way that they are divided here by the Levim, kach chalukim beveis haKnesses, so they are divided in the Beis haKnesses, meaning when we read the Torah on Shabbat in the synagogue, there we divide it in the same way that the Levim divided, which is also Haziv Loch, which we stop in that spaces. We have to understand why specifically in this Parsha, in Parshas Hazinu, the rabbis decided to give a mnemonic and not say that on Musaf, on Shabbos, we read Hazinu. Why did they specifically give this mnemonic? It would have been much easier to say that on Musaf, on Shabbos, the Shir is Hazinu. Why give Haziv Loch as a sign where to break off the Parsha? What is the message? What is the message that the rabbis are telling us by giving this word Haziv Loch? We know everything the rabbis say has to be analyzed, and therefore we're going to try to find out what is behind this mnemonic. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Hey, says that anybody who goes up for Torah reading is required to start with something good and finish with something good. But in Parshas Hazinu, he says it's not the same way. He says that the first one, Kohen, reads from Hazinu until Zechor Yomois Olam, which is in Pasuk number 7. Sheni, which is Levi, starts from Zechor Yomois Olam until Pasuk number 13, which is Yar Kiveyu. The third one, which is Shlishi, starts from Pasuk number 13, and it goes until Vayar Hashem Vayanotz, which is Pasuk number 19. Revi, the fourth one, starts from Vayar Hashem Vayinotz, and it goes till Pasuk number 29, which is Lu Chachmo Yaskilo. Chamish reads from Lu Chachmo Yaskilo until Pasuk number 40, where it says, Ki Eso Shomayim Yodi, I'll raise my hand to heaven. And Shishi starts Ki Eso in Pasuk number 40, and it goes all the way till the end of the Shira. And the Rambam explains that even though the beginning of certain portions and the end of certain portions aren't messages that are good for the reader, meaning that they don't talk about nice things, for example, that Hashem is going to get angry, that is not a way to begin an aliyah normally. But since here, this is Divrei Techacha, this is words of rebuke, and we need words of rebuke when we read it on Shabbos Tshuva, on the Shabbos close to Yom Kippur, either before Yom Kippur or after Yom Kippur, we always read Hazinu. Therefore, it's words of rebuke, and therefore we read it even though the message is not a good message. Rabbi Yosef Karo explains that according to this, we understand very well why the rabbis decided to put a mnemonic regarding this psukim, and specifically for Parshas Hazinu. Meaning that the rabbis were afraid that there is going to be somebody that always goes up to the Torah. And whenever he goes up to the Torah, he's going to see that he starts with a good Parsha and finishes in a good Parsha. Meaning the message where he starts and finishes, it is always good. And here, all of a sudden, he goes and receives an honor for the Torah in Parshas Hazinu, and he's going to see that his portion either started with something that's not pleasant, or maybe finished with something that is not pleasant. And this person is going to be upset. He's going to start and argue and fight with the rabbi or the person that gave him this honor or the person reading the Torah. Therefore, the rabbis, in order to avoid fights amongst the Jewish people, decided already to put this mnemonic of Haziv Lach. Like that, everybody is going to know that there is prescribed places where you're required to stop on Parshas Hazinu. And even though those places aren't good places, nonetheless, the rabbis decreed that you stop there. Therefore, the person who received this aliyah won't be upset. Therefore, specifically on Parshas Hazinu, where there is no choice but to stop on something that is not pleasant, the rabbis saw to it that a mnemonic be mentioned in order to avoid fights among the Jewish people. Another answer Rabbi Yosef Karo gives why the rabbis gave a mnemonic is that since in these days of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10th days of repentance, where when your sentence was not finished on Rosh Hashanah, because you were not a completely righteous person, then your sentence is suspended until Yom Kippur. And during those days, you don't know if you have enough merits to get a good sentence or you don't have enough merits. Then normally a person is depressed and very worried. Therefore, in the same way that when a woman is about to give birth, they say, Hashem Yoir Lach, that Hashem should lighten up for you. So too, when a person is in trouble and he is depressed or concerned regarding the outcome of his din, of his judgment, then we tell him, Hashem Yoitziach Le'oir, that Hashem should bring you out to light. And this is exactly what Haziv Lach translates to. The word Haziv Lach, true that it is a mnemonic, but the words themselves translate that the radiance is to you, meaning that we are giving a blessing that Hashem should lighten up his sentence. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, that true that the Gemara could have just written down that we read Hazinu. But the rabbis wanted to give this person a special bracha, a special blessing, that the radiance of Hashem should be with him, and Hashem should take him out of his trouble and bring him out to the light, in order for him not to be depressed. And therefore the rabbis decided that instead of mentioning Parshas Hazinu, they are going to mention that we read Haziv Lach, where that means that the radiance of Hashem, or the light, should be to you, and they are blessing him that his sentence should be good. The Marsha explains something beautiful, and by his explanation we could also understand why the rabbis chose to give the nomadic Haziv Lach, and they didn't say Hazinu. The Marsha notes that every day of the week we choose as a Shir Shel Yom, as a song of the day, meaning the song that the Levites sang during the sacrifices, a psalm that David HaMelech wrote down. But regarding the Shira that we do on Shabbos, the song of the day that we do on Shabbos when we bring the sacrifices, we decide to choose something that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down. Meaning that here on Musaf, on Shabbos, we choose, instead of a psalm that David HaMelech wrote, we choose Parshas Haazinu, which is the song that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. And regarding the afternoon sacrifice, the Tamid Shel Bein Raboim, the Gemara there continues and says, "Bemincha de Shabbat Amai Oimrim," what they used to sing in Mincha on Shabbos, meaning since the time of Mincha is when they brought the Tamid Shel Bein Raboim, the afternoon sacrifice, what did the Levites sing at that time? And the Gemara there answers, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that they used to sing Oz Yashir, Umicha Moicha, and Oz Yashir. Meaning that they used to sing Oz Yashir, which is the song of the seed that the Jewish people sang when they left Egypt, which is on Shmos chapter 15, and they used to sing from verse 1 to the verse 10. And then the next week they used to sing from verse 11 to verse 18. And the Marsha doesn't say that, but could they actually also add what Sefer Hasidim in the Simon Shana brings down, that even the song that we sang on the Tamid Shel Shachar, on the morning offering, also has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Sefer Hasidim actually says that Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, which is Psalm 92, which we sang in the morning, it was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it first. It was discussing the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then David HaMelech, through divine inspiration, wrote it as a psalm, which is now Psalm 92. Because there, the Sefer Hasidim brings comparison between Moshe and David HaMelech. He says, Moshe and David are Yushavim. Moshe and David were equal. Moshe Molach Arbaim Shana V'chen David. Moshe Rabbeinu was king for 40 years, meaning the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, and so was David HaMelech, a king for 40 years. Moshe Yishias Yisrael V'chen David. Moshe Rabbeinu saved the Jewish people, meaning saved them from slavery in Egypt, V'chen David. David also saved the Jewish people when there was the war with Goliath. Moshe Tzitzkaz Hashem Osho. Moshe made the righteousness of Hashem in Mishpatov in Israel and made judgment of the Jewish people, as it's written in Dvarim chapter 33, verse 21. Vechen David oisit stokom Mishpat. David HaMelech also did righteousness and justice. Shenemar, because it's written in Shmuel Beis, chapter 8, verse number 16. Vayehi David oisit Mishpat stokom lechol amoy. David HaMelech used to do justice and righteousness to his own nation. And then he says, Moshe Omar Mizmo Yishirim HaShabbos. Moshe said, Mizmo Yishirim HaShabbos Lahagit Ki Yosher Hashem Tzuriv Lesavoy, to show that Hashem is upright, He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him, or no crookedness in Him. And Sefer Hasidim explains that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this, Nipnei Sheyilamdu Adoros Mimeni, in order that all future generations should learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Lino Las upon him, if Hashem did not show favor for me, Kolshken Lacherim, for sure He won't show favor for other people. So we see, according to Sefer Hasidim, even the song that they sang in Tamid Shel Shachar, which was written by David HaMelech, but nonetheless, according to Sefer Hasidim, is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. True that most interpreters say that this
song Mizmor Shirim HaShabbos was referring to Adam HaRishon and this famous Medrash that says that Adam HaRishon, when he realized that there is a power of tshuva, the power of repentance, he decided to say Mizmor Shirim HaShabbos, a song to the Shabbos day, Toiv Lo Hoidu Es Hashem, that it's good to admit to Hashem, meaning that it's good to do tshuva and admit your crime. But Sefer Hasidim clearly says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this psalm. Then the Marshal wonders why every day of the week the Levites sing a song that was composed by David HaMelech, and on Shabbos we sing songs that refers to the life of Moshe Rabbeinu or even connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Marshal answers that since Shabbos is holier than the days of the week, therefore the Levites decided to upgrade the song that they sing on Shabbos, meaning that during the week they sing a song that's composed by David HaMelech, but Shabbos they want to sing a song that's composed by Moshe Rabbeinu or referring to the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Marsha continues that therefore they decided also to divide Hazinu with the mnemonic Haziv Loch, that the radiance is to you, to teach everybody that on Shabbos we don't read from the Book of Psalms, that on Shabbos we read something from the person that had radiance, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu had radiance. It's written in Parshas Kisisa, Shmos, chapter 32, verse number 30, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, Veloyada ki koran oirponov, he didn't know that the radiance of his skin shone through. And Targum Unclus writes down there, Lo yada arisagi ziv yekora dapoi, he didn't know that the radiance of his face shone through. So we see that Koran Oir is considered ziv, radiance. Therefore, the rabbis wanted to make sure that people don't make a mistake and sing the song that David HaMelech composed on Shabbos. Therefore, the rabbis specifically wrote an amalek that has ziv loch, that the radiance is to you, meaning that on Shabbos we read something from the person that had radiance, and that is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. I wanted to add, based on the CD that we once made on Parshas Vayakhel, where we asked a question that when Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountain, Hashem told them to make a mishkan, to make a tabernacle, and then Hashem told them regarding the laws of Shabbos. But when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain on Parshas Vayakhel, he first tells the Jewish people about Shabbos, and then he talks about the tabernacle. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu reverse the order? And one answer we gave there was based on Sefer Sifse Tzadikim, which the Sefer Sifse Tzadikim explains based on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches Medal of 88a. But the Gemara there says that B'shosh Shekdimu Yisrael Naser Nishma, when the Jewish people first said Naser, that we will do, and then Nishma, and then they will hear, Nasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shnei Ksarim B'Rosh Kol Echad, that Hashem put two crowns in the head of every Jew, one for Naser and one for Nishma, U'Keshechatu B'Egel, and when the Jewish people sinned in the golden calf, Hoirid as Edyom Me'oleim, Hashem told them to remove their crowns from them, which is referring to the two crowns, as the Pasuk writes down in chapter 33, verse number 5, where Hashem says, Ve'ato, and now, Hoirid Edyecho Me'olecho, remove your crown from on top of you, which means that Hashem told the Jewish people to remove their crowns. And Sefer Sifse Tzadikim continues and says, Ve'nostam le'Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem took those crowns and gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not sin in the golden calf, so he received as a gift the crowns that the Jewish people forfeited when they did the golden calf. And these crowns is what caused Moshe Rabbeinu's face to become so radiant. And Sifse Tzadikim continues and says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jewish people were depressed when they lost the crowns, then Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people that they have the potential to regain those crowns every Shabbos, every time they keep Shabbos properly, every time they behave properly and they have the proper thoughts on Shabbos, they have the potential and they have the ability to regain those crowns. And according to this, we answered that that is why Moshe Rabbeinu decided that first he's going to talk about Shabbos and then he's going to talk about the building of the Mishkan, meaning that since he saw that the Jewish people are afraid of his radiance, but in truth they shouldn't be afraid of the radiance, because this radiance belonged originally to the Jewish people, and this is the radiance that the Jewish people forfeited because of the sin of the golden calf, then Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the Jewish people are depressed by the loss of the radiance which Moshe Rabbeinu got. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to appease the Jewish people by saying that they have the potential to regain this radiance every Shabbos. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, right after the Jewish people were afraid of his radiance, to first talk about Shabbos, to tell the Jewish people that they have a vehicle to regain that radiance, and only afterwards talk about the building of the tabernacle, which reversed the order that Hashem told them in the mountain, meaning that Hashem told them first to build a tabernacle and then Hashem told them the laws of Shabbos. But Moshe Rabbeinu reversed it and said the laws of Shabbos, and afterwards said the laws of the tabernacle. And as a matter of fact, the Arizal in Sefer Shara Kavanis regarding Mizbeh Shilei Shabbos, he explains that in the prayer of Shabbos morning, where we say Yismach Moshe beMatnas Chelkoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu will rejoice by the gift of his portion, that is referring to the crowns that Moshe Rabbeinu got, that Moshe Rabbeinu gives these crowns to every Jew on Shabbos according to his level of holiness, meaning according to the level of every Jew, he is able to tap in to the holiness and receive his crowns back, meaning receive this radiance back. Then according to this, I wanted to say that this could be the reason why the rabbis decided that instead of saying that on Musaf, on Shabbos, the Levites sing Hazinu, they decided to say that they sing Haziv Loch, which is truly referring to Hazinu, but they wanted also to give the message that Haziv Loch, that the radiance is to you, meaning that every Jew has the potential to get this radiance on Shabbos. They wanted to make sure that every Jew knows that they should keep Shabbos properly and they have the potential to regain the crowns that they lost during the golden calf, which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu gives this as a gift to every Jew who keeps Shabbos properly, that he could get the radiance from Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, the rabbi said, Haziv Loch, that the radiance is to you, meaning to you, to every single Jew. Sefer Shemen Rosh explains the idea of a Zivloch by saying something very deep. And he explains that since we know that Adam HaRishon was born with the image of Hashem, because it's written in Bereshit chapter 9, verse number 6, Ki v'tzelem Elohim also es Adam, Hashem made man in the image of Hashem, because of that we get special light. So much so that it's written in Mishle chapter 16, verse number 15, Ki v'or pnei melech chaim, that in the light of the king, meaning Hashem, chaim is life, meaning that life came through the light of the face of Hashem. And Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, light coming out of him was so great, the radiance was so great, that it was even greater than the radiance of the sun and the moon. So much so that the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Achrei Mois, Siman Gimel, says, Ki Yakovei Shel Adam HaRishon, that the heel of Adam HaRishon, Ayom Mache Es Galgal HaChama, used to dull the sun, meaning the radiance of the heel of Adam HaRishon was so great that the sun, the shining of the sun, the light of the sun, seemed to be dull compared to the heel of Adam HaRishon. That was before Adam HaRishon sinned. And a person that never sinned, you could see on his face his splendor and his radiance, and that is what's called cluster upon him, that people are able to look and see what sins you made, because those sins are engraved in your face and those sins dull the image that Hashem gave you. And that is the idea that the Medrash Rabbah brings down in Keheles, chapter 8, verse number 1, that Chachmas Odim Toir Panav, that the wisdom of a man
will lighten up his face, meaning that if a person is wise and doesn't sin, then his face is going to be lit up. And therefore, when a person sins, automatically he loses the radiance of his face. Therefore, in the beginning of the days of tshuva, we actually say from Tehillim chapter 89, Ashrei ha'adam yoidei siruah, praised are the people who know how to blow a teruah. Hashem boriponecha yaleichun, Hashem, by the light of your face, they will walk. And the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Chavtes, Siman Dalet explains that praised are the men that know how to appease Hashem by blowing a teruah. We know that teruah is like crying, therefore they don't know if teruah is two, 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 or teruah is two, 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 two. The Gemara explains that in the beginning of the cry, you cry long, and afterwards you cry short. Meaning, when a baby first cries, he goes, eh, 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 and then he goes short gasp. Therefore, we know teruah is crying, but we don't know what kind of crying it is. Therefore, we do both when we blow the shofar. And we call the long crying shvarim, which is technically also teruah, meaning that teruah signifies that you are crying to Hashem. And the meaning of the Medrash means to say that praise are men that know a teruah, know how to cry, and they know how to do tshuva, repentance, for the sins that they did, that because of the repentance, because they are able to expunge their sins, then Hashem b'oriponecha yaleichun, Hashem will restore the light that He gave to Adam Arishon in the beginning of creation, because through their repentance they'll be able to get again that light that was from Adam Arishon before the sin. And that is the idea that on Shabbos in Parshas Hazinu, since now we are in Shabbos Tshuva, we are repenting and we are getting ready to expunge our sins, the rabbis are saying, Haziv lecha, that you should really continue in the path of tshuva. You should really try very hard to repent completely on your crime and have these crimes expunged. Like that, you'll be able to merit to have haziv, the radiance lecha to you. You'll be able to restore that radiance that you lost through your sins. And according to this, I wanted to add that is also very good why the rabbis, specifically on Musaf, on Shabbos day, decided to put this idea of Haziv Lecha, of the radiance is to you, because since we know that Shabbos is a time for tshuva, because the Shavto Ad Hashem Elokecha, that is written on Parshas Nitzavim, on chapter 30, verse number 2, it's written the words the Shabbos, without a hay in the end, to symbolize that Shabbos is a propitious day for you to repent. And certain Mefarshim write down that Shabbos is the acronym Shabbos Boy Toshuv, that in Shabbos you're required to do tshuva, required to repent. And the idea is that because on Shabbos you receive an Yisom Yisera, an extra soul, a soul that was not corrupted during the week, which specifically came down on Shabbos, that means that now you have an extra input of holiness, and that extra input of holiness will bring you to repent. Therefore, the rabbis, specifically on Musaf of Shabbos, decided that you should remember this idea, that now you have this extra soul, you have this extra radiance, said, Haziv lecha, that the radiance is to you, meaning that you should be careful not to corrupt that radiance, and you should make sure that you reinstate that light that represents your Tzelem Elohim. And this idea that we just mentioned answers another question, which is why did the rabbis wait till Musaf of Shabbos to give the idea of Haziv Lecha, that the radiance is to you? If the idea is that Shabbos brings light, then why did they wait specifically for Musaf? But according to what we just said, it answers this question, because since Musaf means additional, and since because of the additional neshama, now you technically have an easier way to do repentance, because you receive an extra input of holiness, and because of that extra input of holiness, the rabbi said, Haziv lecha, that you now have a chance to get back the radiance that you lost
through your sins, that through the extra prayer, through the Musaf, which is the additional, which could also remind you of the additional soul that you received on Shabbos, now you will get additional holiness. Through that holiness, you will have an ease to repent. And if you repent, then you will merit to have Haziv Lecha, the radiance coming back to you. Sefer Shemeroch continues and says that with what he just said, we could answer the question of the Torah in Simen Tov Resh Chof Hei. Because the Torah asks, it's written in Vayikra chapter 23, verse number 43, that we should sit in the Sukkah, Laman Yedu Doroi Seichem, so all generations should know, Ki Basukois Oshavtes Bnei Israel, that in Sukkois I made the Jewish people dwell, Boitzi Yoisom Me'eretz Mitzrayim, when I took him out of Egypt. The question that the Torah is trying to answer is that if the idea of Sukkot is to remind you Yetzias Mitzrayim, that you went out of Egypt, then the time of Sukkot is completely wrong. Because since we went out of Egypt in the month of Nisan, then that is when we should make Hasukkah. Why wait till Tishrei to make a Sukkah? We went out in Nisan, so that is when we should make a Sukkah. The Torah answers that since Nisan is in the beginning of the spring, it's the beginning of the summer, and normally a person would make a Sukkah for the shade because the sun is going to start getting hot, and a person would not know that the reason for the Sukkah is that's a mitzvah of Hashem. Therefore, Hashem told us specifically to start making a Sukkah in the beginning of winter, where everybody now is leaving the Sukkah and you are going to the Sukkah, you are leaving your house to specifically sit in the Sukkah. Like that, everybody will know that this is a mitzvah of Hashem. And that could be the idea why the Torah stresses specifically regarding Sukkah, Leman Yeidu Doroi Seichem, that all your future generations may know, Ki Basukkah Zor Shavtes Bnei Israel, that I made the Jewish people dwell in the Sukkah, meaning that we have to have the knowledge that this is a mitzvah of Hashem. And because of that, Hashem told us specifically to make it in the month of Tishrei. But Sefer Shemeroch says that according to what he just mentioned, we could give another interesting reason why we sit in the Sukkah specifically after Yom Kippur. And he explains that since we know that for a person to go out of his house and decide to live in a temporary dwelling outside his house, sometimes it's a public space or sometimes it's in a courtyard, where he is not protected in the same way as you would be in the house, where he is more exposed to other people. Therefore, we may be afraid that this could come to put him in danger and he may come to physical harm or monetarily harm, because now everybody knows that he is in a temporary dwelling outside and he is not at home. That means that his home is open to anybody that wants to cause him damage. Therefore, Hashem told us that I want you to sit in a Sukkah specifically after Yom Kippur, after the Day of Atonement, because now you are protected from anybody who wants to harm you. How is that so? Because the Pasuk writes down in Parshas Noach, Bereshis chapter 9, verse number 2, Imurachem v'chitchem yia kol chayos haaretz, that your fear and your dread will be upon every beast. And Chazal Darshan in Shabbos Daf Kof Nun Aleph Amud Beis 151b, that kol zman she'odom chai, that while a person is alive, a mosom mutelos al abriyos, his fear lays over all creation, meaning that everything that's alive is afraid of a man that is alive, which in that includes also all the animals. Then the Gemara continues, V'omar Rami Bar Abba. Rami Bar Abba says, Ein chaya sholetes ba'odom, that the animal does not attack a person, asher nidmaloi kebehema, until the person appears to him as an animal, meaning that the animal thinks that he is not attacking a person, the animal thinks that it is attacking another animal, because it's written in Tehillim chapter 49, verse number 20, Nimshal kabahemo is nidmu, that a man is like a beast, which means that once the animal doesn't recognize your tzelem elokim, your image of Hashem, then he'll attack you because you look like any other animal. And the reason why the animal would not recognize your Tzelem Elohim, your image of Hashem, is because you have sinned. And because your sins, you lost that image. And now you look to the animal just like another animal. And besides the animal not attacking you, even another human being won't attack you. As it's written in Parshas Kisavoy, Dvorim chapter 28, verse number 10, Vero chol ameoretz, and all the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem nikro lecho, that the name of Hashem is proclaimed upon you, Veyaru mimeko, and they'll be afraid of you. If you take this verse literally, the meaning of the verse is that all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is read on you, then they'll be afraid of you. How can they see that the name of Hashem is read on you? The only way that they could see the name of Hashem is read on you is if you still have the Tzelem Elohim, you have the image of Hashem on your face, then everybody will be able to see that the name of Hashem is on you, then they'll be afraid of you. But if you don't have the Tzelem Elohim, if you don't have the image of Hashem on you, then the nations of the world won't be able to see that Hashem's name is on you, then they won't fear you. And the Rishamim Brachas Perikei Halacha Aleph makes an additional point. He says that the Pasuk doesn't say V'ra'u Ameyaretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, that the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is upon you, V'yar V'mekon, they'll be afraid of you. The Pasuk says V'ra'u Kol Ameyaretz, that all the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is upon you. Therefore, the Yerushalmi says that Kol, that all the rabbis are filo ruchois vafilo shedim, that even spirits and even demons will also see that the name of Hashem is upon you and they'll be afraid of you. And according to this, we understand why Hashem told us to sit in a sukkah specifically after the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Meaning that we know that it's written on Pasuk in Vayikra chapter 23, verse number 40, Ulakachtam lochem bayom arishon, that should take for you in the first day, pri eitz hador, a fruit of a beautiful tree. And the pasuk continues and enumerates the four species that we're required to take on Sukkos. But we know that Sukkos is on the 15th of Tishrei. It's not on the 1st. Then the Medrash asks, why is it written, Ulakachtam lochem bayom arishon, that we should take for you on the first day? It's not the first day, it's the 15th of Tishrei. The Medrash answers that Rishon is the first day, Lecheshbon Avonos, for the accounting of the sin. And the Sigur Torah explains, what does it mean that it's the first day of accounting of the sin? And he says that since the Gemara in Yuma says that there is a difference between somebody who does Tshuva Me'ahava, Tshuva out of love, to somebody who does Tshuva out of fear or Tshuva out of awe. Because when you do tshuva out of fear, then your zedoinois, what you do on purpose, becomes shgogois, becomes like mistakes. But the sin is still there. It's not completely expunged. But when you do tshuva out of love, then you not only not considered as you have sinned, your zedoinois, even the purposeful sins that you made, nasen zachiois, become merit. Therefore, the Sigur Torah explains that since on Yom Kippur we're not doing tshuva out of love, we normally do tshuva out of fear, because since we know that our decree is going to be signed on Yom Kippur, then we are afraid that maybe Hashem will give us a bad year, and maybe Hashem is going to punish us this year. Therefore, we repent, but not out of love of Hashem. We repent because we are afraid of what Hashem may decree for us this year. Then our tshuva does not completely expunge that sin, because we may still have a vestige of the sin. True that they are not purposeful anymore, but they are still considered mistakes, shgogois. But after Yom Kippur, when you start doing positive things for Hashem, you start building a sukkah, you start getting your lulav esrik, and every time you do something positive, you show that you love that person, you're doing for that person, you refrain from doing things negative because you're afraid of what the person may do to you. But when you do things positively, that shows your love and care for Hashem. That means that after Yom Kippur, your tshuva is now transformed to tshuva out of love. And when you do tshuva out of love, your purposeful sins become merits. That means that now, after Yom Kippur, when you start building your sukkah and when you start doing things positive for Hashem, your sins become completely expunged. Once your sins are completely expunged, then you again regain your Tzelem Elohim, your image of Hashem. Once you regain your Tzelem Elohim, then everybody, the animals, the people, and the spirits are afraid of you. Then you don't have to worry about them doing you harm. Therefore, since you don't have to worry about them doing you harm, Hashem said, after Yom Kippur, after you start getting the positive mitzvahs, I want you to dwell in a sukkah, because now you don't have to be afraid neither of animal nor of any being, because they can't harm you, because you have the Tzelem Elohim, you have the image of Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that this week, since it's Parshas Hazinu, we should do tshuva, we should repent, and we should again regain Ziv Lecha, our radiance, our Tzelem Elohim, our image of God. And if we all gain our Tzelem Elohim, then we merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera, b'yomeinu, Amen.